All right. Hello. Yeah. We're live here at RMPA. We're here live with Jason Pettit. So I guess we'll start with letting you introduce yourself. I always like to say I'm terrible at introducing people, which I guess is proof from that, but we have to edit out. let you introduce yourself, where you're from, what your research interests are, and then we'll kind of go into talking about your research here at RMPA.
Yeah, great. Yeah, my name is Jason Pettit. I'm a non-traditional senior at Fort Lewis College. I guess to give a little bit more information on why I decided to come back to school. So I just turned 50 this year. And 4 years ago, I stopped drinking alcohol. And that was a big change in my life and led to all sorts of things. And one of them was I started reading a lot and doing a lot more research just for my own personal sake. Yeah. Just wondering what had happened to my own personal brain after so many decades of drinking. So that led me down the path of reading different books. And then some friends recommending you should really go back to school and finish your education, which I never finished. I started forever ago back in the 90s as a trumpet player. And I was a trumpet player most of my life until just a few years ago, a professional trumpet player traveling throughout the world playing trumpet. That led me back to Fort Lewis and studying psychology. And obviously then that ties very much into what I'm interested in, which is learning more about addictions and how people deal with them and how we can better facilitate positive change for people if they want that.
Excellent. So would you walk us through what you are presenting at RMPA this year? So the title was very catchy, that recovery doesn't need 12 steps. Could you walk us through conceptualization and what you found?
Yeah, basically. So I started off in a 12-step program in Texas and worked through some of that and found a really cool sponsor, for lack of a better term, who helped me out in that program. And it was always interesting to me, but there were definitely some things that I never liked about it. Mm-hmm. But I was at a point in my life where I needed help. So I was just, I would ignore the things that didn't make sense or that didn't really sit that well with me. So because of that, I think 12 steps can be really good for some people, mm-hmm. Just depending on where they come from. But many people, it's not really that effective for them. And it's based on very, very old, if you can even call it research, and not really any science from the 30s. And so to me, mandating people when they get a DWI or something like that, putting them in this 12-step program and then hoping that they will recover or get better is really not happening, because what we see is that what happens is a lot of times people get they get negative emotions and connotations with having failed in the 12-step program without having to maintain the abstinence, or perhaps not having found a higher power, or not really believing down that pathway of God is going to really help them. So they feel they're a failure. And then a lot of times, unfortunately, it leads to more using of the drugs and alcohol. And so it perpetuates this behavior that we really don't want to see. And so I was kind of curious. And so I'd been researching and doing stuff as a TA with Dr. Amanita at Fort Lewis College with his addiction class. And I found an article in The Guardian that was really interesting about a person that had said that exact thing, that he had gone to a 12-step program, and especially because of his sexual orientations and some other things, it was very difficult for him. And it really set him off on a very spiraling downward path towards more drug and alcohol use. And so that led me to think about I wonder why all of the recovery programs and rehabilitation programs in the United States are kind of 12-step based, and why aren't we looking at maybe some new models to work towards achieving a better goal, harm reduction, those kind of things. And one of the things that I found when I was first in my recovery, besides going to AA, after that I found this program called the Phoenix, which was a sober active community that doesn't require, there is no 12 steps or anything like that. It's just a bunch of people getting together. And basically then it was more for exercise purposes, maybe we go for a run, or we just meet in a park for a workout, or we do some rock climbing or mountain bike rides, or those kind of things. Now theirs has even changed to where it's very volunteer-based and run and organized, so that they have all sorts of things to where to be we just have a painting class, or we're getting together and doing karaoke, or we're going to go to the Top Golf and play some golf or something like that. And really it's that building community and connection that you start to see is what is helping people get through their addictions. Mm-hmm. And then that's one of the things that AA does provide and is great about, getting people in a group mm-hmm. together and talking. But that's really one of the things that you can do in other settings that may be serving to people that really can't find it at a traditional 12-step. So looking more into those new programs that are out there was part of my research as well.
Excellent. Yeah, so you're finding is like a program like Phoenix kind of helps remove some of those maybe for some people unrealistic expectations or things that they may not be able to hit some of those steps. So if you're giving like 6 of the 12 steps work for this group, those other steps, if they don't work, you can create that perception of failure.
Sure.
So by helping to kind of narrow down like the core steps.
And realizing that there are multiple paths to recovery. Just like everyone gets into addiction for their own personal, very individualized reasons, everybody will probably find their way out of it. Somewhat similar. And being with a group of people that's not so like AA can be so fixed to one belief. Being with just a group of people, you'll probably like at the Phoenix and some of these other groups that I talked with to do this research. They really create a different community where you'll probably find somebody in that group that could share something that's like, oh my gosh, Daniel and me, we have a similar story. Like, that's great. I think we'll just go out on a walk together and we can kind of talk about our own things. And it doesn't have to be 12-step based or anything based. It's just two people helping two people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
what aspects of we're methodology nerds. And so what aspects of doing the research did you find challenging, or if you could go back and do it again, what would you do differently? Like, what were those like insights in becoming a researcher and doing this project that you were like, oh, I wish I had known that ahead of time. It would have made my life easier.
Yeah. There were some, partly because I'd worked in some of these places before, it was a little bit simpler for me, but just getting out there and talking to different groups, I wish I could have talked to even more. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably how everybody is with research. It's like, I talked to a handful of people here and a handful of people there, and I was like, oh, I wish it was, 20 people here, 20 people there, and more groups further throughout the country.
Right.
To really get a bigger picture of what's, But, and then I think, too, I wish I could have, I just wish I would have planned ahead enough to collaborate with some more people at my own school.
Oh, okay.
To do some other, because there was one young lady who was doing some interesting stats on, and she found some interesting results on the anonymous part of AA, and how that really doesn't seem to be effective, in that it's actually better if I talk about my drinking problem or whatever, alcohol use disorder or alcoholism, as they call it in AA. It's actually better for that individual than keeping it anonymous. Like, I'm not going to mention it to you guys because it's just we keep it in that room and we never talk about it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really interesting. I just wish I would have had more time to kind of collaborate with some more people, because I think that's always more fun too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of, I had this
kind of dive into kind of the world of looking at some research. I had a great student who ended up moving, but she was really interested in looking at the drug court programs in New Mexico. And we started kind of dipping our toes into the water of like trying to get some information from them. Was there anything that you found that either you found, I guess, sort of like a level of resistance and maybe like trying to talk to some people or with the organizations? I mean, we tended to find like there were people who are more than happy to talk to us about their experience or how effective the program was or what they were doing within the program. And then we had people who ran the programs who were like, this is what's working for us, this is what isn't. But then there were also some moments where it was like, well, I don't know if I want to talk about it because the judge might get upset.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if it's like from that kind of methodological or from that like research standpoint, if you found anything like that of like there was either like almost like an openness of like being willing because there was this interest in like, hey, we want people to know what we're doing and we want people to better understand what we're going through. Or that if there was something that like you feel that you would have to work a little more to like get your foot in the door to be able to have some of those conversations about.
Yeah, that's a good point, and you're exactly right. It was like that. You find exactly how you described it. There's many people that just they want to tell you everything and are a complete open book. And then because you have to be really respectful of that because it is dealing with most of the people there are dealing with their own personal recovery.
Right.
So that becomes a really slippery slope. And I wasn't trying to step on too many toes more than just kind of get a little bit of information and kind of enough to present the argument of like, there are some new organizations that are out there that are pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think they're doing great things. So I'm just trying to kind of let people know that maybe they can look in their community, especially if they're in the position to be influencing people that are making those decisions, to say, hey, maybe just sending all these people to AA, maybe we could give them an option or two. Maybe we could say, hey, sit down with them before we mandate anything and say, hey, we've got a couple programs. This one's kind of, you know, outdoor based or fitness based. This one's kind of just like volunteer based with a bunch of people that are whatever. And then this is more of a 12 step or something like that. To really try to do what we're trying to hopefully do is help people make the changes that they want to make. So whatever that looks like for them is really what hopefully we can figure out and make it more accessible.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Do you have any further steps from this research that you're interested in taking? Like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that, actually. I've been so busy just doing this
and right on.
Trying to get done with my senior year. So, yeah, that's basically just trying to get this all done. I haven't thought too much about that, but it would be fun to I think, for me, I feel like that what I'm going to be doing later on, it's probably a lot more like some advocacy and trying mm-hmm. to talk on behalf of people and just trying to get more of to really be an advocate for people in a way that I was there very much. I saw a gentleman this morning when I pulled in on the street and just thought about how close I was to that and how I can relate so much to his position in life. And so those people, it's often don't have a person that can come and speak somewhat intelligently for them at the table. So I'm hoping to do more of that actually in the future and really just get out there and kind of be an advocate for these kind of programs, but more for just the people mm-hmm. to really let people know that they have this amazing ability in themselves, you know, and that there are lots of groups that could help you. But yeah, that's kind of more of where I see myself going, I guess, in the future.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I'm excited to... When are you presenting? Remind me.
It's Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
Okay. So. Right on. Are we busy that time?
Yes.
Oh, we are busy. Yeah, we won't see it. Well, I'm glad we got to meet you and talk about your research.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, it's very nice talking to you. Thank you.
Sure.
All right.